We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back. It is 9 minutes after 4 o'clock. I'm Jordana Green, David Josephson at the helm. Thank you for joining us on what is a beautiful, yet poignant and still sad Friday as the Minnesota, our Minnesota family, our global family at this point, still heals and reels from what we have experienced and what we have gone through together, certainly for the last few months. Joining me now is Daryl Thompson. Daryl is part of an organization called Black Men Teach. This organization was introduced to me by a dear friend of mine, and here is the goal of Black Men Teach. This is what it says on their website. It says, our community will achieve equity in education outcomes only when it has more equity in its teacher corps, when our teachers not only look like the students they teach, but understand the context of their lives and are able to build authentic relationships with them. And we think, yes, 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 yes. We all want to be teachers when we're little because we idolize our teachers. And we do need more teachers that look like the majority of our kids. We need a diverse group of teachers because our students are so diverse. Daryl Thompson of Black Men Teach is joining me on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Daryl, before we talk about Black Men Teach, how are you today? Really, how are you?
I'm doing better than I was last Friday and this Monday. So I'll take that as progress, both personally and professionally. It's been a challenging week with the work I'm involved in with Boulder Options and our mentoring program, and then myself personally and having two young black boys, black men inside our house, having to explain things to them I thought I'd never have to explain over the course of the last week. But we're doing better.
Thank you for answering honestly, because I've been asking many of my guests this question, because we're all in a tough spot. We're all in a tough place. You know, I'm constantly feeling this low level of anxiety and sadness. You know, it comes in waves, and it's we're all dealing and grieving in our own way. So I appreciate your honesty and your vulnerability on that. And of course, I forgot to mention, Daryl is the president of Boulder Options, which is a youth mentoring organization that we feature here on WCCO Radio. So thank you for your work in that as well.
Oh, thank you. You have a lot of great people that have been supportive over the years.
For sure, for sure. Black Men Teach. This is an extraordinary organization, because what you're doing, you're living it. You're living what you're preaching. You want more black men to go into teaching because it inspires, you know, students, young black students, to stay in school and to then aspire to teaching. The statistics surrounding the lack of black male educators are pretty astounding. Can you run down some of that and then what the repercussions of that are?
Well, I think the first one is, if you don't see it, it's hard to be it. Mm-hmm. So if you don't see a lot of black teachers, black professors, then you're not going to, no one's going to say, you know what, you'd be a good, you know, teacher, you'd be a good professor, you'd be a good coach. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, less than 2% of the teachers in our state right now are male teachers of color, you know, and 46% of our kids that are in Minnesota are kids of color that are inside our school system. So there tells you that there's a gap there, you know. And maybe the one statistic that I've thought about when I was preparing for this interview, the most important, is that, you know, young black boys, if they have one teacher, just one black teacher of color, during the time that they are in school, there's a 29% chance that they'll graduate. It increases their chance to graduate by 29%. So it's a big deal to have people that look like you in the classroom, and it actually benefits everyone. There's studies that talk about how it benefits black students, it benefits white students. Everyone gets, you know, things like what happened a week and a half ago, I don't think happened if people grow up around each other and have a comfort level with each other.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth. That is absolutely, you know, if you have a black teacher teaching you math and explaining it to you, you have a comfortability factor with him than if you never had a black teacher ever in your life. It's a whole different experience because teachers are, they're like parents, you know, they're mentors. They're an extension of our family when we're kids.
I would call teachers the fabric of our community. I think I had a speech that got canceled during the coronavirus, but it was for a teacher that I had at home in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. And she's like followed us and followed what we do with voter options. So she's like part of the fabric of my life. I don't call her all the time and ask her advice, but, you know, she became a friend and advocate of mine. She noticed that I like to cook and like make omelets when I was in, you know, like seventh grade. And we became friends and we've always stayed in touch, you know, through highs, lows, life, everything. You know, that's almost 45 years ago. Yeah. When I was in her, well, not 40, probably 40 years ago in her classroom.
I tell you, we all have that one, at least one, that we can recall, you know, that made an impact. Oh, I became this because that teacher called on me in school. Or my love of science was because of this great teacher. We always have at least one teacher. So I can see why this is so important. But Daryl, what is the obstacle? Why do we not have enough black men and women, but mostly black men? That's your organization, Black Men Teach, in teaching jobs.
Well, that's a great question. You know, I don't actually have the answer to it. I think that one of the biggest pieces of it, it hasn't been something that's been a priority. And then a lot of times when black men do get in the teaching, start out, they end up in the detention room and other areas where they're dealing with more difficult kids. And I think quite honestly, it burns them out and they leave. I know a lot of friends that have left. They're like, they put me in the detention room. I'm not on a teaching path. And sometimes they end up being counselors and principals and superintendents. So there's people that have ascended, you know, which is always the desire to ascend inside your occupation. But I feel like if we have a make it a priority and see it as a realistic goal, then you have that opportunity. Then maybe one other reason is sometimes you get in there and there's almost no one that looks like you. So if you go in the break room and everyone in the break room doesn't look like you, then you're kind of like, it gets draining trying to, you know, build relationships and talk about things that aren't as interesting in your life and to deal with the problems you're dealing with in your culture that other people aren't dealing with.
I get that. I hear that. Absolutely. How can we help and what can we do?
I think we can become advocates and certainly support the organization. I think we know it's spread the awareness, and also we need financial support as well. We're in the goal. Our goal is to hire an executive director before the end of this year, and we need to get to $150,000 to $200,000 in the bank to feel comfortable doing that and bringing someone on, because we don't want to just bring on anybody. We'd like to bring on a leader.
That's right.
So to find that leader, we're going to need a little bit of capital to get there, and we're getting there. We've had people that have stepped up and, you know, made impactful gifts and large foundations of town have stepped up. But we need two or three more to get there and a lot of individuals to do the same.
More black teachers can change the fabric, can change the culture. I encourage everyone to go to blackmenteachtc.org, as in Twin Cities, blackmenteachtc.org, to learn, to donate. And Daryl, I hope you'll come back on the show. This is so important, and we promise to keep it in the news.
All right. Hey, thank you for having me. Have a great day.
Thanks, Daryl. Daryl Thompson of Black Men Teach, also of Boulder Options. We can do that. We can encourage people of color to become teachers, because it starts when the kids are young. And seeing that teacher every day fosters relationship, fosters community, fosters trust. And that is something that can affect real change. I believe that. Coming up next, we have a celebrity guest. Celebrity guest that is normally on the show every day that has since abandoned us for a little while. But I cannot wait to talk to my dear old friend Paul Douglas next on CC. He's back. It's 4:23. I'm Jordana Green. And I can finally stop saying I'm Jordana Green, because now I can say I'm Jordana Green with Paul Douglas. And, of course, David Josephson. Oh, we've missed you, my friend.
Hey, it's great to be home with no incidents. I didn't show up on CNN, so I'm happy about that. But It's good to hear your voice, although I was listening, the radio.com app, I think you and I'm biased, but I think you and everybody at CCO has done an amazing job during an impossible couple of weeks here. So thank you for keeping us up to date, Jor.
We have missed you so much, and we're anxious for your return. I know you'll be with me full show on Monday. Do you want to share at all where you've been or what you've been doing?
Sure, yeah. I rented an RV, a 26-foot Class C, and Lori and I, my dear wife, we drove out to Montana, and we visited Big Sky, and then we went up to Whitefish, tried to get into Glacier National Park. It's still closed. It's opening in phases later this month, and I was able to spot one glacier from outside, just outside the park, but just stunning scenery, snow-capped mountains. The weather cooperated. We had one severe storm while I was out there. And then we picked up our son, Walt, my oldest son, and his wife, Tracy, and our new grandson, who turned 4 months old on June the 1st. We rendezvoused with them close to the Idaho border. Mom and baby got on the RV. Walt followed along behind us, and then we drove all the way back. They wanted, you know, they're rightfully concerned about the virus, and they wanted to do everything in their power to keep the newborns safe. So we took 2 days and came back through Bozeman, and then we went to Bismarck, spent some time there. It was surreal. We stopped in Fargo, and I'm watching live BBC coverage in the RV from Minneapolis, and I, you know, just shaking my head. What is going on? Anyway, we got back Wednesday, and, you know, so we've been following along with a sense of, you know, dread and disbelief and horror, and grateful for all the amazing people doing great things, the food donations, all the people that are stepping up, wanting to be on the right side of history with this and doing the right thing. So, you know, I still think, in spite of the terrible times we're going through right now, not to minimize any of the destruction, the violence, the hurt, the pain, what George Floyd went through, I just have to hope and believe. It's more of a prayer, Jor, that we get to a better place at some point and that something good comes of this.
That's what we're praying, Paul, because it has been so challenging. I'm glad for you that Walt is back and Tracy's back and baby Jordan, who we all know is named after me, is back.
No.
And Lori is safe. And you had some time away. But what a week and a half we have had here in Minneapolis. And I know you and I have been keeping in touch, and I know you have been paying attention, and we've missed you, but we knew you had family responsibilities. But this, Paul, has been probably one of the most challenging weeks professionally that I've ever had, with just the personal growth, the learning that I am really taking seriously, and the responsibility that you and I have to share with the listeners and to listen, to listen to them. This has been just an extraordinary week and a half. It's been so challenging. You know, my headaches, my heart aches. It's been very emotional. I've cried probably every day on the air, by the way, and not because you've been gone, but I've probably cried at least once on the air every day just because of the emotionality of what we are going through and what we're suffering from. But you and I are both believers that you don't get anywhere without some pain. And I firmly believe, like you said, that these are growing pains, and we wish there was not a loss of life. But we know that also it will not be in vain, and we can only pray and move the needle forward that it was not in vain either, that the loss of George Floyd's life will mean greater growth, greater understanding, greater legislation, greater protections, all of those things in the years ahead for our entire global community.
Justice for all.
That's right.
Yes, absolutely. And I the best thing we can do is listen. Listen to each other and put voices on the air. You may not agree with all the voices, but so many people are in pain, in anguish right now. And we're not going to learn until and unless we listen and open up our minds and open up our hearts. And you and I don't have the answer key. The best thing we can do is step back and turn the microphone over to Minnesotans to say their piece. And I think that's part of the healing process.
And that's what we've been doing every day at 4:35. And that is what we are going to do next. In fact, 4:35, the phone number is 651-989-9226. And Paul, I'm not sure how much you've heard today, but the Minneapolis City Council is proposing, and they're going to vote on this within maybe the next few weeks, to dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. So what does that look like? What does that even mean? I know this is a big step. And also, you know, they say the word dismantle. I'm not sure what that means. We're not sure what other protections would be in place. Does it mean a world with or a city without police? Does it mean a community policing organization? We're not sure. But that's what I'm going to be taking calls on. And you get to go and play with baby Jordan and be grandpa. But it was great to hear your voice. So thank you. And I cannot wait. Oh, and but you have a show tomorrow, though. You're on the air tomorrow?
On the air 9 to noon tomorrow. And I'm joining Dr. David Hilton 7 to 8 on Sunday.
Great.
And then I'll be on from 8 to 9. So, yeah, everything is fluid. Everything is changing by the minute as the news breaks. And we just have to dance and again, turn over the microphone to the people who need to get their message out right now.
Paul Douglas, cannot wait to see you on Monday. Well, at least see you virtually on our Google Duo video chat that we do during our show. But have a terrific weekend. We'll be listening to you, and hi and love to the family.
Okay. God bless. Thanks, Jor.
Thanks, Paul. Great to hear his voice. It's time for your voice. 651-989-9226. Your thoughts on the possibility of dismantling the Minneapolis Police Department. Next.
The city of Minneapolis has banned chokeholds from the police department. When I hear that, the first thing I just have to be honest is that's a pretty damn low bar just to start with in terms of that we hadn't had that.
Tell it like it is, Governor. That's right. That is a damn low bar. Why are we allowed to use chokeholds? I guess now things will hopefully change. It has been a very busy day for the Minneapolis City Council. A restraining order filed by the Minnesota Department of Human Rights as part of its civil rights discrimination investigation into the MPD also imposes a duty to intervene, meaning cops who see another cop using a chokehold or a neck restraint must step in and stop using it. They have to verbally tell the officer to stop. Then if they don't, they are allowed to use physical means to stop a chokehold. Any officer who does not step in would be subject to discipline the same severity as if they themselves engaged in that use of force. According to NBC News, the use of force records in Minneapolis indicate that Minneapolis police used a neck restraint 237 times since 2015. And choked someone unconscious 44 times. Of those who were unconscious, 60% of them were black. 60% of those who passed out because of this chokehold were black. Minneapolis police, and hopefully, by the way, we just heard from them, somebody from the city council, the city council will hopefully be joining us at 5:35, David, right? Around the 5:35 half hour?
Yeah, we're aiming for that, still in discussions about that. I'm glad, though, you just made the point about the change they made today.
Yes.
That requires a police officer who witnesses another officer using a chokehold on a civilian,
mm-hmm.
They're required to stop them, to ask them to stop, and then to stop them. Because we've heard this argument in the last few weeks that if a junior officer were to override his senior who's mm-hmm. using a chokehold, he could face being fired for stepping up against somebody. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true. If it is true, that's a problem with the system, that I, as a junior person, could get fired for stepping up and doing what I think is right to, you know, somebody who's ahead of me in the ranks. That mm-hmm. I mean, I understand there needs to be some rules about ranks, but there's got to be a way to, you know, to overrule somebody if you know what they're doing is wrong.
Correct. And now there is.
Yes.
So thankfully, there will be some real meaningful change happening. Today, the Minneapolis City Council held a special emergency meeting to approve these court orders outlining changes for the Minneapolis Police Department. Of course, one of the big ones was this mention of the chokehold. Minneapolis City Council members have also tweeted this week that, get this, they are looking to not only make serious changes, but to possibly eliminate the Minneapolis Police Department after the death of George Floyd last week. I want to talk about this. My phone number is 651-989-9226. How do you feel about the possible elimination of the Minneapolis Police Department? Remember, safe place. If you're all for it, come and tell me. I'm not going to judge. I'm going to hear you out, and I'm going to listen, because this is one of those things we have to learn. I never grew up in a city, or I've never lived in a city that didn't have a police presence, a police department. So I want to know if you think that this is possibly the solution, or if you think this is the worst idea you ever heard in your life. Share that with me. 651-989-9226. Ward 3 Representative Steve Fletcher tweeted out, quote, "I don't know yet, though several of us on the council are working to find out what it would take to disband the MPD and start fresh with a community-oriented, nonviolent public safety and outreach capacity." He doesn't know yet. He says it became clear that by day two, people were marching for much more than a protest in response to George Floyd's death. Needs to be much more than any prosecution could offer. What people in the streets have won is a permanent generational change to the mainstream view of policing. That's still, again, Steve Fletcher from Minneapolis, Ward 3. Jeremiah Ellison of Ward 5 said, quote, tweeted, quote, "We are going to dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department. And when we're done, we're not simply going to glue it back together. We are going to dramatically rethink how we approach public safety and emergency response. It's really past due," end quote. That was a tweet from Jeremiah Ellison. What do you think about this? Even Lisa Bender, by the way, the president, the city council president, yes, she tweets, "Yes, we are going to dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department and replace it with a transformative new model of public safety." She agrees. What would that look like? And I, being a limited person and not having a background in law enforcement, just being a, you know, just a silly talk show host and once upon a time reporter, I don't know what that would look like. It's hard for me to imagine, only because I haven't experienced it, and I haven't really thought about what that would look like. So I have limited view of what that could be. Maybe it could be fantastic. But does it mean if you call 911, nobody comes? Is it like a citizen's justice kind of thing, like a citizen's patrol? Kind of, is it going to be voluntary? Are people paid? I don't know the answers. That's why I'm just asking a lot of questions out loud. But other people have thought deeply about this, because this is not the first time I have heard about defunding the police, getting rid of the police. I guess I never considered it a total reality, because I just assume we need police, because there are plenty of good police officers, and I figured we need them. So what does this look like? What does this sound like? What does this feel like to you? 651-989-9226. Tom is in St. Paul. Tom, thanks for the call. What do you think about this?
Well, as with usual, the Minneapolis City Council, I think, is reacting as opposed to being proactive. In other words, where have they been knowing some of these things? Mm-hmm. And now they're just coming forward to do some of the things that should have been done a long time ago.
That's fair. That is fair. You knew these problems when you ran for city council. You guys live in the city. You know the city. Where were you? That is a fair criticism, Tom. Thank you, sir.
The other thing is wasn't it the city council, the Minneapolis City Council, that just recently banned all drive-thrus for restaurants?
That did months ago. That was months ago. Yes, they banned any new drive-thrus in the city to be built in the city of Minneapolis, I believe.
And
yes.
And wouldn't it be convenient now with the COVID to have a bunch of those drive-thrus?
You know, Tom, you make excellent points today, sir, and I'm really glad you called. Thanks for the call. Ah, Tom, the voice of reason. Thank you, Tom. I just want to get to a couple more calls. Matt's in Jordan. Matt, what do you think about all this?
Hi, Jordana.
Hi,
I wanted
Matt.
To mention that I think they do need to change what's going on with the MPD. Mm-hmm. I don't think disbanding them is the answer. I don't know how they plan on policing the city of Minneapolis, but my main comment was, you mentioned 2000 son, Jeremiah Ellison.
Yes.
What I don't understand is did you hear about his tweet for his support for Antifa? I think it was the week before.
I did not see that tweet. No, sir.
So that's something else that should be talked about, and unfortunately we don't hear enough about it, and that's what I got to say. Thank
yep,
you.
I appreciate that. I don't know anything about that. I will look into it, and possibly, I know promises, but possibly talk about it on the show. I have to look into it. I'm not educated about it. Matt, thank you for the call. I see that it's David's motioning and gesturing at me to take a break because it's 4:45. If you've got a call, I want to hear it. 651-989-9226. I also want to check in with Sloan Martin. Sloan has been at the U.S. Bank Stadium protest. So we'll finish up with calls and we'll talk to Sloan next. I was going to turn it on, David, this time. I was going to turn on that mic. I remembered now.
I had
the show's on again. David has my back. Thank God. He's the best producer ever. Thank you so much, David. It is 4:50. Jordana Green, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with me. So folks are tweeting at me, and they are also calling because talking about what it would mean to dismantle the MPD. Patty says, Jor, it would mean they would contract with an outside organization to police the city, like Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. Many cities do this. Las Vegas is one of them. Okay, I hear you. This is interesting. And before we go to Sloan, Dwight, I got you. I got 30 seconds for you. Dwight and Matamidi. Dwight, what do you think?
Hey, Georgiana, I think that both St. Paul and Minneapolis Police Department ought to do a study, just do a data run of all the policemen and all the complaints that each policeman has on it. Like in the case of the knee guy, the knee policeman, he has about 9 or 11 complaints against him. There should come a point where that needs to stop. So what I'm suggesting is after 3 or 4 complaints on any officer, they should come in for some review board to determine if what they're doing is the right job for them.
Dwight, I think that is a fantastic idea. I think you are spot on, and I support it. Dwight for police chief. Dwight, I think that is a great idea. I think there is definitely a better way to do this. Diana, I see you. Let's head out to Sloan because she is at the protest at U.S. Bank Stadium. Sloan, set the stage for us. What's been happening there this afternoon?
Yeah, Jordana, I was in the middle of the crowd. I thought I was close to the front. Then I looked behind me and I saw a ton more people. I'm terrible at accounting for crowds, but I would say at least 2,000 are here, if not more, right around U.S. Bank Stadium. And I've talked to organizers. We've been standing here for about an hour now before a planned march, hearing from performers, hearing from different speakers and activists. Royce White, the former NBA player, is talking right now into the microphone. And the messages have been, yes, about anger, about injustice, about accountability, and all the things we've heard from protesters throughout this entire week. But today is also a focus on the life of George Floyd. It has been soulful. It has been empowering with those musical performances, with the messages that we're hearing. So we're still hearing about moving forward, taking that next step and having Minneapolis lead so there's not another George Floyd. But I think also reflecting on where we are right at this point.
Sloan, has there been any talk of what the Minneapolis City Council has done today, like the human rights investigation and the possibility of dismantling the police?
Well, actually, no. It's a little bit surprising, Jordana, but I would say more of the measures that we've heard of, a lot of it has been kind of big picture ideas about the community moving forward. Yes, there have been references to, police, reforming police. But I would say the main focus, it's still a talk of Mike Freeman, the Hennepin County attorney, trying to get him even removed from his position. Of course, Bob Kroll is going to come up as well, both people who do not sit well with the protesters we've seen throughout the week plus, but also legislation. This came from Anika Bowie, who is the vice president of the NAACP, calling for retroactive charges to all officers who have ever killed anyone and eliminating a statute of limitation. So we're seeing this kind of expansion beyond the death of George Floyd to looking for accountability for other police shootings or deaths.
Wow. Wow. Okay, Sloan, thank you so much. We hear it, and I said it was a protest, but it's more of a rally. I just want to make sure I get the verbiage right here.
It's right, and, okay. You know, it's actually an organizer said, too, we're calling this a march, but very much a rally here, especially with the musical performances. There's been, you know, different kinds of emotions, but overall relaxed and very peaceful.
Beautiful. Sloan Martin, thank you so much. We'll be checking back with you on CCO. Thank you, Sloan.
Thanks.
You got it. We probably have, let me just check my timing. Let's see. David, I do think I have time to take Diana's call. Thank you. Diana's in Hutchinson. Before we went to Sloan, we were talking about this idea of dismantling the Minneapolis Police Department. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Jordana. Yeah, I really disagree with that. I think what they need to do is go through the police department and find the ones that are not doing things right and punish them or remove them, whatever the case may be. But we have to have police. Mm-hmm. That's just ridiculous.
What about the idea of maybe having the sheriff's department take over or, you know, contracting out private companies?
No, I don't believe in that. And I've heard a lot of other people say, too, that we should try and get more officers that live in the area working on the department. Mm-hmm. Because I think, if I heard right, the officer in question was from a different town.
Correct, Oakdale. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think we need to do more of that.
I would totally agree with that. Totally agree.
Yes.
Diana, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, and stay well, dear. And she's absolutely right about that. I've had this discussion with other reporters in other markets who say it's crazy that we don't have officers who live in the area they're policing. They should live within the city limits of where they're policing. Of course, when I was a young reporter, we had to live in the market that we were reporting on, because how else are you going to know it? How are you going to feel it? Do you know the pulse? Do you know the people? And I mean, and how can they get to know you and trust you unless you're all, you know, hanging out on the streets together and going to the same restaurants? I absolutely believe that that is a terrific idea and one that should be definitely called for. And if they're not getting enough recruits, then go recruit, go train, go specifically to high schools in Minneapolis, go to that area and recruit and train people and give them skills and let them police their own. But this idea of dismantling the police department and having somebody else take over, again, it's new to me, so I'm sort of going over it and over it in my head. But I know Sheriff Hutchinson. He is somebody who is focused on mental health. He is focused on wellness. He's focused on diversity and equity. He runs a tight ship. Not saying nothing is without issues, but it might be interesting to have somebody else take over, especially now. There has been such a loss of trust. When we return, Henry Lake is going to join us and we'll recap Governor Wahl's press conference. What's open? What's not? Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.